Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. With the White House family devotional reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's powerful devotional book titled Morning and Evening. This is the podcast, and this is episode number 204. The scripture passage chosen by the Prince of Preachers for us today is Psalm 25:18. And it reads, "Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins." He goes on to say, it is well for us when prayers about our sorrows are linked with pleas concerning our sins. When being under God's hand, we are not wholly taken up with our pain, but remember our offenses against God. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. Right over here. Pass him that thing. God has blessed the Prince of Preachers with unique gifts and talents and an anointing and some things that he brings out even though he is dead and gone to heaven. He being dead yet speaketh. So allow me to repeat this. Please get it. When it blesses my heart, I got to make sure your heart is blessed. It is well for us when prayers about our sorrows are linked with pleas, and especially when I have said something without reading what he said. I have said something similar before in my because people forget. People just forget stuff. It is well for us when prayers about our sorrows are linked, my God, help us, with pleas concerning our sins. It's not just being about your sorrows that you're suffering, but why are you suffering the sorrows? When being under God's hand, Spurgeon says, we are not wholly taken up with our pain, but remember, this is what I tell people all of the time, remember now, don't be all just taken up with your pain, and you must understand that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. See, we live in a country that does not mind, just hold on, that does not mind sowing stuff for years and sowing the wind, but they don't want to reap. They don't want to take the reaping part. See, they just want to stay focused on their pain that they are reaping. And God wants to remind you now. Remember, you took all this time to sow this evil. You got to take some time to reap your harvest, and take your whipping, take your chastisement. Take your punishment. And what's wrong with the American church is that is not in their theology at all. Not only the charismatics, not only the prosperity gospel hucksters, but even in the so-called conservative evangelical circles, that we in the American church, we're special because we have foolishly mixed our true Christian faith with some kind of an American faith. We are an exceptional people. We are better than others. And we should not suffer. And that's what's wrong with what's going on right now in this country. We have people in this country, and we have leaders who are leading this country in the church and in politics and in other fields, who somehow can't get through their minds that we are suffering because of our sins that we have committed against God. That this is not the American way, this plague and people dying and people can't even go say bye and thousands of folks dying a day. This is not the American way. You know, and they keep bringing up, we're Americans, we're the American, it's a wonderful American spirit, you know. But see, the Americans of old, they would remember the dead. They would be mourning the dead right now. We don't want to do that today because we don't want to believe and we don't want to accept that we have brought on this punishment upon ourselves, because we know God has been very good to us and we have flown in His face with such abominations as adultery in the church, child molestation in the church, child rape in the church, male and female rape in the church, homosexuals in the church sanctioning homosexuals, the church marrying homosexuals, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for these abominations. The church has homosexual preachers now and pastors, and people want to act like they don't know what the problem is. That's the problem. There's nothing wrong. It's not America that God is trying to get at. He's trying to get at the American church and get His people to repent. And if we would repent in the church and get off our high horse and looking down our nose with our proud selves at people and get back to the main thing, the Great Commission that Jesus Christ left us and the Great Commandment. And we're doing neither. So this is why we're in the mess we're in. Here's what we're doing, though. It's all about our pain, and it's all about our suffering, it's all about our hurting. It's not about, you know, nobody wants to deal with what caused the pain. Why are we in this mess? In the greatest country in America. Like a third world country, worse than a third world country. We got more people dead than any other country in the world. It says a lot about us. We don't like pain. We love pleasure. We love sinning. We love committing adultery and fornication and homosexuality and lying and stealing and raping. We love pleasure. But we don't appreciate the chastisement that comes from that. And we're not willing to face it. And here's our prideful, sick nature. We don't want to accept that we caused our own pain because of our own sin to the point we bow up. See, listen to me. This is what's happening right now. I want you to get this, because it's in the Bible. Is how people are going to be in the end times. We bow up and say, you know what? I don't believe that it's because I sin this way. So I'm just going to keep on. In fact, I'm going to increase my sinning against God. I'm going to keep on sinning against God, because I don't believe that's the reason why we have this plague sitting down on us. We can't even open our schools to get rid of our children for about 8 to 9, 10 hours a day, keeping them busy so we can do our dirt. I'm stuck home with the husband I hate. I'm stuck home with the wife I hate. I'm stuck home with the children I hate, and I can't go out and do my regular dirt. I'm gonna keep on sneaking and doing it, because I don't believe that's the reason why. You know what that's going to equal? It's going to equal and bring about more chastisement, more trouble, more judgment, more pain, because God has a way. Beloved, you hear me, and you hear me well. You double down on him, he gonna double down on you. Or quadruple down on you. Do you hear me? So God is not playing with you, and he's nobody to play with. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, beloved. I see, this is what rebellious people do. Proud, stubborn, rebellious, witchcraft practicing hellion people do. They doubled down on God, and God has to quadruple down on them. You're experiencing what the old folks used to say, the slow rolling wheel of God. They used to say, now, all right then, all right now. You know, the wheel of God grinds slow, but it grinds sure. Hear me now. Hear what I'm saying to you. You haven't seen anything yet. If the church does not humble down and repent, not just keep back from doing some of the evil you were doing, like raping little boys at the altar, raping girls, raping women in the church, raping men in the church, you pastors' wives. Homosexualizing in the church. Homosexual, as one guy says, homosexual activities in the church. Keep on. See, please, and I don't know why people do this. I don't know why people think God is stupid. Excuse me, I say that advisedly. I don't know why people think God is stupid. I don't know why you think that. That God can't see your heart. That you just holding back from your fornication and your adultery and from your homosexualizing and trying to bring homosexuals into the church to be members and be pastors and everything else. You just holding back, thinking you can deceive God and fool God and make God think that's repentance. God knows that you're not repenting. He knows you're just waiting to see if things can clear away, so you keep on going into your sin and doing your sin that you were doing. He knows your heart. He knows your intentions. Stop thinking that God does not know what's going on, because he's so merciful and so loving and so long-suffering and so patient. Stop thinking stupid like that. You're the one who's acting stupid. For you to be thinking so stupid mess like that, man. God knows everything that's in your heart. He knows what you're about to do. He knows what you're going to do 10 years from now if you live. He knows if you're going to die from this coronavirus plague if you don't repent. So don't be thinking that God does not know what's going on. He knows what you're plotting and planning and what you're thinking, what's in your heart. Because that's what some folks are doing. They're just holding back a little bit to get see when the storm is passed and they can go on back to their evil ways and pursuing their evil. And we see, we're so proud that we will try God and say, well, I don't believe it was because of our sin, like that old prophet says, I believe it's because, you know, of this and science and this, that, and the other, and so forth and so on. So I'm going to persist in my sin and see if it was about that. And that's how God quadruples down on you, and a worse thing will come upon you. Excuse me, I just had to go off for just a few minutes. As I sometimes do. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is well for us when prayers about our sorrows are linked with pleas concerning our sins. God wants to hear that right there. And God does not mind hearing about how that you want to be delivered. But you need to link that with some confession of sin and repentance of sin. Proud, stubborn, rebellious, disobedient, witchcraft practicing people in God's church. When being under God's hand, we are not wholly taken up with our pain, but remember our offenses against God. Don't be all caught up in just the pain you're suffering. Think about why you're suffering. That's what I do, by the grace of God. As soon as some kind of pain come into my life, I want to know, what did I do? God, because you, Lord, you know I don't like any pain. I don't like not being blessed. I don't like that daily favor from God not being in my life, man. I can't live. I'm like David with that. I got to have the God. See, you know why David was great? It was all because it was all about God. Even though he failed in certain areas, like we all do. But it was all about God. See, unlike Saul, David gave God all the glory, the praise, and the honor. And he was very careful not to take it for himself. And God and David understood one important principle, that we need to be dependent upon God and ask him for his guidance and his leadership. We need to acknowledge him in all of our ways. So it is well also to take both sorrow and sin to the same place. See, only Spurgeon can dig down this deep in one verse and just go off. He's the only one I know. And I'm sure there are others. But that's why we call him the Prince of Preachers. This is a lifelong lesson right here in one verse. And one expounding of one verse by the Prince of Preachers. He'd been dead 100 years. It is well also to take both sorrow and sin to the same place. It was to God that David carried his sorrow. It was to God that David confessed his sin. Observe. I thought Matthew Henry was the only one who used that word. Observe then, we must take our sorrows to God. Even your little sorrows you may roll upon God, for he counteth the hairs of your head. Another reason why I got to slow down on all of the preaching from preaching and speaking 3 times a day and all that, because I'm losing my voice. You pray, as they used to say back in the day, for my strength in the Lord. Back in the day, they used to preach and sing so hard, they would be hoarse. We heard that many times. They couldn't speak. And your great sorrows you may commit to him, for he holdeth the ocean in the hollow of his hands. Go to him, whatever your present trouble may be, and you will, or you shall find him able and willing to relieve you. He has all power in his hands. And this is something David knew. That's why David was so victorious. David found so much favor, even though he made some mistakes and committed some sins and suffered for the sins that he did and that he committed. But most of David's life was just bathed in favor and mercy and grace and love and power. He had good men around him who loved him and respected him and knew he was anointed. Not just because of the position like Saul, but they knew he had a special anointing from God. So the people who God surrounded him with, they, and not only did they follow David, they respected David and they loved David. His men, who were just as mighty as he was in war. David got faint one time in his mess. You know, King, we appreciate you being out, but you can't come back out here anymore. They loved him. He said, no, we don't want the light. We don't want the light of Israel to go out. So you stay home. See, that's a beautiful thing when the people who surround you, helping you, they look out for your health and care, and they love you and respect you, but they know that you can't do as you used to do. You stay at the palace. We'll fight the battles. And Joab was probably mightier than David. I mean, I don't know. But he just didn't have the power that David had on. See, they knew that if they had David with them, they can win. You know why? Because David had God with him. Oh boy, you people don't understand. Oh my soul, I hope you get it. It's all about God's power. It's not about you. And see, David understood that. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. David understood my life's verse, Zechariah 4:6. It is not by human might. It is not by human strength. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You need to get a hold of that. Because if you're sincere about the Lord in this present predicament, that's who you better lean on. Get back to him. Know him. Don't worry about everybody else and trying to get something help from everybody else. That's fine. He may direct you to some people to help you. But first of all, contact him. Understand he can do anything but fail, as the old saints used to say. You hear me? And that's who you need to be riding with. Ride or die. That's the one, the Lord. I'm serious about that, people. You better get this. That's how you'll make it through not only the pain that's happening right now, but the quadruple down trouble and pain that's coming. And Dr. Spurgeon says, but we must take our sins to God too. We must carry them to the cross, that the blood may fall upon them, to purge away their guilt and to destroy their defiling power. The special lesson of the text is this, that we are to go to the Lord with sorrows and with sins in the right spirit and in the right order. Note that all David asks concerning his sorrow is, look upon mine affliction and my pain. But the next petition is vastly more express, definite, decided, and plain. Forgive all my sins. There you go. That's where we need to be, right there with David. Stop moaning and groaning and complaining and whining and crying about how uncomfortable you are, how much hurt you're experiencing. And I'm going to say this again in the briefing today, but let me just say this to you people. All these lies that these people are telling you about how your children are going to be hurt if they stay home, they're not going to be hurt at all. On the contrary, they're going to be helped. Keep your children home. Don't let them go to the school, to the public school, to the private school. Don't let them go to the Christian school. Don't let them go to a little part of families. No, nobody is going to bite you in the behind. Don't do it. 90%. It's a 90% increase of young people, children getting sick from the coronavirus plague because we are here doing this foolishness of trying to put our children in school because we don't want to be around our children. You're not going to work. Number one, there are no jobs. Number two, anybody who wants to hire is a risk of your own life. You may end up killing yourself, your husband, and your children. You send your children to school, they may come home and end up killing you and themselves. Not through suicide and shooting, but through coronavirus plague. Through the coronavirus plague, people. Don't be foolish because you're greedy and because you want to do your thing and you want to try to get back to your old life and your old Ace Boon Coons and all that. No, don't do that. Keep your children home. That may be God's way of helping you to stay home and to stay out of sin and evil. Many sufferers would have put it, remove my affliction and my pain and look at my sins. That's how we pray today, isn't it? Lord, remove my suffering, remove my pain, and then look, just take a glance at my sins. But David does not say so. He cries, Lord, as for my affliction and my pain, I will not dictate to thy wisdom, rather. Lord, look at them. I will leave them to thee. I should be glad to have my pain removed, but do as thou wilt. But as for my sins, Lord, I know what I want with them. I know exactly what I want done with them. I must have them forgiven. I cannot endure to lie under their curse for a moment. A Christian counts sorrow lighter in the scale than sin. A truly born again Christian counts the afflictions lighter in the scale than sin. He can bear that his troubles should continue. He's okay with that. But he cannot support the burden of his sins, of his transgressions against God. Glory be to God. My daughter Daniqua is the one who, on her own accord when she was a little girl, chose Spurgeon's devotions and she put them on one of our evangelistic sites. And for some reason, you might need to do that again. For some reason, people would come and read those devotions. I mean by the hundreds. And I see why now. I see why. Because this is my first time reading this devotional through. I read a little bit in the years gone by, you know. But God really not only anointed this man to preach, but to write as well. And this is a powerful passage of scripture and word from the Lord in this devotional today. And And so timely. So timely. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much, Lord, for this devotional suite. Thank you so much for what you have done today already in the first part, part one of the Standing Between the Living and the Dead Memorial Prayer Devotional Evangelistic Service. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and help us to remember what we heard here today. Help us to hide your holy word in our hearts. Help us to meditate on it and in it. And Lord, help us to remember what Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, he being dead yet speaketh, said to us today. And help us to change our ways. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as he did, here's how you can be saved from the hell to come and walk with the Lord morning and evening in this life until you go to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin always. The Holy Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. If you have never trusted, if you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have never received his free gift of salvation, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loves us and he wants to save us from that awful place so that we can go to heaven when we die. Jesus Christ said in one sermon in Matthew 18:8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, hell is bad news, dear friend, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell when you die. You can go to heaven. For Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, he suffered, he bled, and he died for your sins and for mine and for everybody in the world. He was buried and he rose from the dead by the power of God for you so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So, dear friend, if you want to trust Christ as your Savior today, so that you can avoid going to hell and go to heaven when you die, pray this simple prayer with me called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart on Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. I am sorry for my sins, and today I choose to turn from my sins with your help. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose on the third day. I do believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Dear friend, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.